Good morning, welcome everybody. We begin today a new set of halachas, the halachas pertaining to the four fasts, Tisha B'Av and the other fasts that are related to the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Before we begin, I was asked a question regarding Sfira Soimer, regarding the issue of counting the Omer. In Likutei Halachos, there's approximately, I'd say anywhere from 10 to 15 discussions on this topic. Of the significance of counting in general, counting versus not counting, which comes up in the Torah in many places. It's mentioned in the Gemara that counting in general is a dangerous thing. Counting Jews leads to a plague, chas v'shalom. And why should we count? Why shouldn't we count? This topic is discussed in Likutei Halachos in many places, and there are a variety of explanations given. And then regarding Sfira Soimer specifically, there's also explanations. Right now, I want to continue where we're up to in Likutei Halachos. If I can, I'll try to prepare something for it within the next few days. But we have had it just a few days ago when we were learning Hilchos Sfira Soimer. Going back maybe a few weeks ago, actually, we had it in Likutei Halachos. I'll try to make note of the exact paragraph, the exact halacha in Sfira Soimer, and the exact paragraph where Rav Nosson Zal discussed it. But there is definitely a lot on this topic in Likutei Halachos. Okay, we begin. In our versions, it's page 382, Hilchos Tisha B'Av v'Shar Taniyos. Halacha Aleph. Inyan Harboa Tanesim, the main concept behind the four fasts is Kedei Lahalois Malchus Digdusha, in order to elevate the Holy Kingdom. We know we speak about this, all of the Sifrei Kabbalah and all of the Sifrei Chassidus put tremendous emphasis on this, that our main mission in this world is Tikkun HaMalchus. One of the main reasons why Hashem created the world was because Ein Melech Belo Yam, a person cannot be a king without a nation. You have to have whom to rule over. So that was a basic principle behind the creation of the world and especially creation of man. Because again, if you have robots, if you have angels who cannot do differently than what you want them to do, that's not real kingdom. Real kingdom is when people have the freedom and liberty to comply with or to go against the will of the leader, and they choose this person to be the leader, and they choose to cooperate, to listen, to be subservient to the leader. That's real Malchus. And when the Malchus, the Jewish nation, is called the kingdom of Hashem, we are referred to, Hashem says, Va'atem tiuli mamleches koyanem v'goy kodosh, a kingdom, a holy kingdom. In Hallel we say Yisrael Mam Shaloisov. The Jews are the ones who really crown Hashem, Hashem's kingdom. And when things are well, when things are going properly, then the kingdom, Hashem is recognized as king, and the Jewish people are recognized as his closest kingdom. When we're not doing the right thing, then the Malchus falls, that's the terminology that's used, the Malchus falls into the Sitrachra, into other kingdoms. And we're told that there are basically, that the Malchus is represented by the letter Dalet for a variety of reasons. The letter Dalet, the way we pronounce it, is like the word Dalus, poor. And the Zohar HaKadosh defines Malchus as one of the Midos of Hashem that's poor, in that it has nothing of its own. It's dependent on others. Malchus receives from all the other spheroids above it. It's compared to the moon that also has no light of its own. It receives from the spheroids above it. We spoke on the night of the Seder, we speak about the 10 items that are on the table at the time that we're conducting the Seder. We have the 3 matzos corresponding to the 3 upper spheroids. We have 6 items in the Seder plate, the Zroa, the Egg, the Moror, the Charosis, the Karpas, the Chazeres, 6 items. So it's 6 plus 3 is 9. Where is the 10th one? And it's brought that the 10th one is the Kaira itself, the Seder plate. What is the Seder plate? It's nothing. You can't eat it. You don't do it. And yet without it, nothing is in order. That's the Tzimtzum. That's the Keli that keeps everything in its place and allows everything to function correctly. In chapter 30 in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zalveir goes into the number 4 related to Malchus. We said again, the letter Dalet represents Malchus, and Dalet is 4. And we mentioned that there are 4 kingdoms of the Sitra Achra, which are the 4 basic exiles that the Jewish nation experienced. Bavel, Paras u'Madai, Yavon, and Edom. These are the 4 kingdoms of the Sitra Achra. And Rabbeinu Zal says there in the Likutei Moran that corresponding to that, on our holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, which are special times of Aliyas HaMalchus. We saw this in the previous shiur. We quoted the pasuk, Vayihi l'tshuvas hashana le'es tseis hamalochim, that during special times of tshuva of the year, which referred in this particular context to the holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, which are times of judgment, when the world is being judged on these 3 holidays, the pasuk says, le'es tseis hamalochim. These are times when the kingdom goes out. It goes out from the Sitra Achra, and it's restored into the domain of Kedusha. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that for this reason, on each one of these 3 holidays, the number 4 is prominent. On Pesach, you have the 4 cups of wine. On Sukkot, you have the Dalet Minim. And on Shavuos, we have the Torah, which was given in 4. Rabbeinu Zal, the Gemara gives several presentations of that. How Moshe Rabbeinu first taught the Torah to Aaron HaKohen, then to the sons, then to the other people. 4 levels of teaching. We know there's also the Pardes of Torah, the Orchard of Torah. Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid, the 4 basic categories in Torah, etc. Here now, we're introducing the 4 fasts, where we're fasting because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which was a major Yerida and Nefila of the Malchus of Kedusha. And these 4 fasts are to help us elevate the Malchus de Kedusha, to return it to Hashem and to the Jewish people. Rav Nosson Zal begins. This Torah is based primarily on chapter 62 in Likutei Moran, which is a substantial chapter. Rabbeinu Zalveir speaks quite a bit about the topic of eating versus fasting. He speaks about the topic of emunah and yediyah, faith and knowing Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal begins, Kal yedei ha-churban v'ha-golus nofla malchus digdusha v'nimsar malchus loivdei kechovim. As a result of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Jewish nation going into exile, the Holy Kingdom has fallen and has been given over to the other nations, to the non-Jews. V'alkein misanen, and for this reason we fast. Ki al yedei ha-tainis nis'ala ha-emuna, because Rabbeinu Zal shows us in chapter 62 in Likutei Moran that fasting is one of the things that restores and elevates faith. Let's leave it at this for now. For those that want more detail on it, look into chapter 62. Rabbeinu Zal there mentions the Shlemus, that when the Emunah is B'Shlemus, then there's a special union between Hashem and the Shekhinah. And also, when we're eating properly, there's a pasuk in Rus where it says, Le'es ho'oichel gishi haloim, that Boaz said to Rus, at the time of eating, come close, approach. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that this shows that the time of eating is a special time of bringing close, bringing together Hashem and the Shekhinah. Just like Shlemus Emuna brings about a union between Hashem and the Shekhinah, so too eating Bikdusha. And therefore, when we're in Golus, when there's this fallen Malchus, then the eating also requires a tikkun. Vayidei zeh oila hamalchus. And by our action of fasting, we restore, we elevate the Malchus, Shehi Bechinas Emuna, Ki Iker Hagolus Machmas Chisoron Emuna, because one of the main causes of the Jews being thrown out of Eretz, exiled from Eretz Yisrael and sent into Golus is a lack of Emuna. We know that Eretz Yisrael is the center of Emuna. The Pasuk says, Shchon Eretz Ure'ei Emuna, live in the land and be nourished with Emuna, with faith. So Eretz Yisrael is the place of Emuna. When we show lack of faith, we're removed from Eretz Yisrael. K'moy Sham Rabbi Senuzal, as the Gemara says, Loi Chorvo Yerushalayim Elo Al Sheposku Bo Anshei Emuna. The city of Yerushalayim was destroyed only when they were no longer people of faith there. Umachmazeh Golu, and for this reason we were exiled. V'nimsar hamalchus shibichines emuna loiv dekuchovim, and the kingdom, which is synonymous with faith, was given over to the other nations. This is a principle we've mentioned many times. We said just like malchus has no light of its own, it's the moon, no light of its own, it reflects the light of the sun. So too emuna is something that's referred to, it has no light. Emuna is in what we don't see. If a person sees something, they don't have to believe. They say seeing is believing, but seeing is not believing. Seeing means I know it, I see it. The seeing is referred to as das, chachma. It says by Adam and Chava, when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, vatipokachna einei shneim, their eyes were opened up. So chachma and das is referred to as seeing. Emuna is in what we don't see and what we can't understand fully. This is one of the reasons why when we say the Shema, which is the ultimate declaration of faith in Hashem, we cover our eyes. We close our eyes and cover our eyes. V'alkein misanen arba tanesin, and this is why there are specifically four fasts associated with the Churban Beis Hamikdash, kedei lahaloi so emuna, in order to elevate the emuna, shehi bechinas malchus, which is synonymous with malchus, shehi bechinas dalid, which is associated with the letter dalid. In the Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar HaKadosh has a major discussion regarding the Churban Beis Hamikdash and Tisha B'Av and the four fasts, in the area where it speaks about the battle between Yaakov Avinu and the angel of Esav. And when the angel of Esav saw that he couldn't defeat Yaakov Avinu, he hurt him in his leg, in his thigh. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that this is what actually, this was the forerunner, and this was the spiritual base for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the Golus, etc. I was zocher to hear from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avracha, the Gemara tells us that there's nothing in the Gemara or in Nach that's not based on the Chumash, that doesn't have a source in the written Torah. So that, for example, these four fasts, where do they appear in the written Torah? The Pasuk says there, by the battle of Yaakov Avinu with the Sar Shel Esav, it says that because of the fact that the angel of Esav hurt Yaakov Avinu by the Gid Hanoshe, therefore, Al Kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe. Therefore, the Jewish people do not eat this part of an animal, the Gid Hanoshe, this special sinew. The Zohar HaKadosh says the word Hanoshe is the same letters as the word Hashana, of the year. Al Kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael. Therefore, the Jews do not eat in which days of the year? S. The word S makes up the first letters of Tisha Av, the ninth of the month of Av. The word Gid, the Gimel, is the third day of Tishrei, which is Tzom Gedalia. The Yud is Asara B'Teves, the tenth of Teves. And Gimel Yud Dalid is 17, which is the 17th of So again, we see in a Pasuk in Chumash, a remez, a hint, to the four fast days, which again, the Zohar HaKadosh goes into a deep, involved discussion as to how this all began when Yaakov Avinu was hit in the leg, in the thigh. Any questions up to this point, please? Paragraph Beis. V'zeh b'chinas ta'aniyos shemesanin al hagshomim. This is also tied into the fact that the Gemara tells us, Mesechta Tainis, the Mesechta in Shas that speaks about fast days, begins and spends most of the Gemara regarding the fasts that the rabbis institute when there's no rain, when there's a lack of rain. Ki atziras gishomim hu bishvil chisoren emuna. Because when Hashem chooses to withhold, to hold back the rain, that's because of a deficiency in faith on our part. K'mayisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, Ein hagshomim ne'etzorin elo bishvil chisaron emuna. Rain is only withheld when there's a lack of faith. We say this in the Kriya Shema. V'sartem v'avadatem elokim acherim. You will turn away from Hashem and you'll worship idols. V'chora af Hashem bochem, Hashem will get angry at you. V'otzar es hashamayim, Hashem will hold back the heavens. V'lo yiyeh motor, and there'll be no rain. Hashem will withhold the rain. While we're on this topic, again, I remember a wonderful shiur from Rav Rosenfeld, Zechon Evracha, where he mentioned that there was once an incident in one of the Jewish cities several hundred years ago, where there was a tremendous drought, there was no rain for a long time, and at one point, the rabbis of the city got together, and they told all the people that they started doing some fasting in order to try to bring rain, and still nothing happened. And at one point, they told the people all to gather together in shul for special prayers and fasting to bring the rain, and still nothing happened. And then at one point, there was a man or a woman in the city, I don't remember who it was, who was extremely unlearned, just about no knowledge of Torah, very limited knowledge of Yiddishkeit, and this person wasn't present for the prayer, and somebody said, maybe we should include this person. And then somebody said, nah, they don't really count, they're not really significant, but you never know. And sure enough, someone went and called that person, and that person said a prayer, and immediately clouds gathered in the sky and started pouring and pouring, and the drought was over. And everybody was anxious to hear what was the miracle prayer that this person said to bring about this rain. So someone, I don't remember whether it was the Rav of the city, who approached this person and said, could you please reveal to us the secret? What were the words, the actual words you used when you were praying for rain? And the person said, sure, of course. In the Kriya Shema, I say it every day. It says, V'otzar es hashamayim v'lo yiyeh motor. Now the word otzar, the way we interpret it normally, means to hold back, to withhold. But the word la'atzor can also have a meaning of to squeeze. When you hold something back, like I grab somebody and I'm holding them back and I'm squeezing them in a bear hug, like to hold them back. So he said, I said to Hashem, it says in the Torah, v'otzar es hashamayim, that you'll squeeze out the heavens, v'lo yiyeh motor, and the rain will no longer be in the clouds, it'll come down to earth. And all the people were in awe to see how this person, with their sincerity, even though they were misinterpreting the pasuk completely, the pasuk actually refers to the exact opposite, to Hashem withholding rain. But Hashem is more impressed than anything by simplicity and sincerity. And the fact that this person's intention was to mean squeeze out it, their prayer was answered and was superior to the prayer of tens or hundreds of other people. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where it says, V'digloi olai ahava. V'digloi, a degel is a flag usually. The Gemara, the Medrash, gives a twist, like a spin on the word. The Medrash says, V'liglugoi olai ahava. Their stuttering is beloved to me. Meaning, when there's a Jew who doesn't really know how to pray properly, and the person says a prayer and they're stuttering, they can't even get the words out right. Hashem says, olai ahava, I love that. I love the sincerity of the person, that even though the person knows that they're not a rabbi, they're not very learned or anything, they're still trying to offer their prayer. In some ways, that prayer is more precious than the prayers of people who are seemingly much more advanced. Back inside, Rabbeinu Zal said, he quoted the Gemara, that rain is withheld only because of a lack of emunah. Ki kach hi amida, because that's appropriate. Me'achar shenifseko emuna, that because there's a lack of emuna, v'alidei zehu bechinas atziras hachasodim, that causes Hashem to hold back His kindnesses. Ki kishenechsar ha'emuna, oz bevadai hadibur begolus. Because when there's a deficiency, a lack of emuna, then the speech is in exile. K'may shekosov Rabbeinu Zal b'mayim ravayaseh, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 62 in Likut Imran again. Now, on a simple level, dibur is malchus. There's a statement in the Gemara, dabor echot lador, one ruler in a generation. Dibur is malchus. We know that when the Zohar Kodesh speaks about the spheros, the midos of Hashem, as they appear in the head of a person, the lips represent netzach and hoid, the tongue is yesoid, and dibur, speech, is malchus. So again, when there's a lack of emuna, then the dibur is in golus. We know, for example, when the Jews were in Egypt, we're told that we were in golus, the dibur was in golus. When we came out of Egypt, the holiday is Pesach, the mouth speaks. And we're told that the dibur was taken out of golus. The Arizal speaks about this. The golus hadibur hu bechinas nichar groini. And when we speak about the dibur, the speech being in exile, the speech being held back, one form of that is when a person's throat is completely dry and they can't speak. Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hashem, I've been calling out to you so much that nichar groini, my throat is completely dry. Shehu bechinas yeveshus. This is a dryness. V'alkein bo ho'inish al yedei atziras meimei agshomim. Sheyu yeveshus chasashon. So again, when there's a lack of emuna, which means that the dibur is defective, the throat is dry, then the clouds are also dry. Then there's no rain, and the rain is withheld. That's another form of dryness. Validei atziras kshomim, and when the rain is being withheld, bo ro'ov chas v'shom, then there's famine. The crops don't grow. There's no food. V'hu gam kein mida keneged mida, and this is also Hashem matching the punishment to the crime. Al shenoflu letaiva sachila, that one of the causes of this could be when we eat improperly. We mentioned before that when we're eating bigdusha, when the Jews are eating properly, this brings about a union between Hashem and the Shekhinah. When the eating is improper, it causes a separation, chas v'shon, between Hashem and the Shekhinah, which means lack of shefa. Just like when we want to bring a child into the world, it requires a union between husband and wife. So too, kaviochel in heaven, when we want shefa to be generated, it requires a heavenly union. Ki kishe'en emuna, azai hisgabrus taivas achila chas v'shon. Because Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran that when there's a lack of emuna, then the taivas achila becomes strong, ve'en hama'acholem mevoirorim. And then the food that we eat is not being refined and processed correctly. V'alkein hatikun al kol zeh hu tainus. And therefore, the solution for all of this is fasting. Shalidei zeh zoichin l'shaber taivas achila. Because when a person fasts, they show that they're controlling, they're taking full control of their eating. V'zoichin l'emuna. And this elevates our faith. Shalidei zeh choyzer akshomim, which brings back the rains. Kalidei ha'tainis mamshichin meimei ha'chasodim. Because through fasting, that enables us to draw the waters of kindness. Chesed is usually referred to in Kabbalah as water. It's the term meimei ha'chesed. Whereas Hashem's mid of gevura is referred to as eish, fire. K'may shekosav Rabbeinu Shom, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 62 in Likut Imran, Sheze bechinas gishmei bracha. This is the concept of rain of blessing. Again, a form of chesed on the part of Hashem. We'll finish the next paragraph and then we'll take questions. V'chein al kol tzoro sheloi tovoi. And so too, any time that the Jews have any kind of a problem, any kind of of suffering, one of the solutions, one of the approaches is fasting. As the Gemara says, Ki kol hatzorois v'hayisurim chas v'shalom kulam hemichisorin hadas. Because all suffering and pain is an indication of a lack of das. K'may shekosov Rabbeinu Zal bekama mekoymois. As Rabbeinu Zal writes about this in many places in Likutei Moran, we know Rabbeinu Zal quotes the famous Mishnah, the Gemara, that says, "Im das koniso machosarto." If you have das, what are you lacking? You lack nothing. "Vim das chosarto." If you're lacking in das, machoniso. What do you have? You have nothing. That's one of the bases on which Rabbeinu Zal bases this concept. Suffering generally implies a lack of something, lack of health, lack of money, lack of shalom bayis, all chisorin. And chisorin, the main chisorin, is a reflection of lack of das. Now, the term das, as being used usually in Likutei Halachos and Likutei Moran, is almost synonymous with emuna. You know, he's not talking about das of chemistry or biology. He's talking about the das of Hashem, recognition of Hashem, awareness of Hashem. That's what he's referring to. It's just that when we speak about it in terms of das, it's coming from a place of knowledge. It's coming from learning a lot of Torah, pshat, remez, drusod. When we speak in terms of emuna, usually we're referring to less focus on the knowledge aspect, more focus on the blind faith. I don't know, I don't understand, and yet I believe, which generally is the concept of tefillah more than Torah. V'chisorin hadas, haynu hastoras hayidia, hu b'chinas chisorin emuna, k'may shekosov Rabbeinu b'mayim rayasi. And Rabbeinu Zal, in chapter 62 in Likutei Moran, puts these two together. He says lack of das is synonymous with lack of emuna. These two go together. There's an incredibly profound statement in this chapter 62 in Likutei Moran, which magnifies this. In the shul that I daven in, usually in Oir Avram, someone put a sign at the Omud for the Chazan, where the Chazan davens, and they put this quote from Likutei Moran. So I'd like to share it. Rabbeinu Zal says in chapter 62 in Likutei Moran, in the middle of paragraph Beis, he says, Ube'emes, the real truth is, Im hoya yodeya odom yediya belev sholem. If a person would really know in every part of their heart, be 100% positive about the fact, shemaloi chol haoretz kevoidoi, that Hashem is everywhere, that Hashem's glory fills the entire world, v'hakadosh baruch hu oimei b'shas hatfila, and Hashem is standing right in front of you when you're davening, v'shoimeya v'shoimeya hatfila, and listening to your prayer, vaday hoya mispalel behislavus godol, the person would definitely be praying with fire, with enthusiasm, with passion. And the person would be very particular to concentrate on what they're saying and to make sure that every word is a home run. Every word is coming out really solid. And Rabbeinu Zal says, it's only because of the fact that the person is not 100% sure, positive about this, that Hashem exists and Hashem is everywhere and Hashem is right in front of me right now. I'm speaking directly to Hashem. Bishvil zeh einoy mislahiv kol kach. That's why people are not so enthusiastic and passionate when they're praying. Ve'einoy medakdei kol kach. And they're not so particular about every word of the prayer. So here Rabbeinu Zal connects the idea and the emuna. The emuna is the tefillah, that the more a person knows, the more a person has complete recognition of Hashem, the more that person's faith and tefillah will be closer to perfect. Ki ho ikar toloi bo emuna, back inside. Because the main thing, everything is dependent on emuna. Kishayesh emuna b'shleimus koroi b'Hashem isborach, and when a person's faith in Hashem is really complete, 100%, azai kol hayisurim betelim, all suffering is eliminated. Ki yoidin shehakol me'Hashem isborach, because the person knows and understands that it's all from Hashem. In these last four or five words, Rav Nosson Zal gave us a tremendous enlightenment. This is a question people ask. Does that mean that when I have emuna, I'll have $1 million in my bank account and my sickness will disappear immediately? The answer is, that's option A. One option of Hashem's response to Shleimus Emuna is to remove the problem completely. Another option is that when a person has complete recognition of Hashem, then there is no problem. There's no such thing as problem. It's all great. You have the famous story of the Rebbe Reb Zusha, where there was a person, a wealthy person, who once came to one of the tzaddikim, to the Mezritcha Magid, I think, and he told him that he has, mamish, a whole load of problems, a bag of problems, and he doesn't know what to do. He's so surrounded on all sides. What should he do? And the Mezritcha Magid told him, I'll give you this solution. I'm going to solve all your problems. I want you to go to the city of Anapoli and seek out Dr. Zusha. Ask for Dr. Zusha. He'll be able to heal you, cure all your problems. And the story is that this person traveled to Anapoli. He asks for Dr. Zusha. No such thing. There's no doctor in the city. Maybe there's a doctor, but his name ain't Zusha. There's a Reb Zusha, but he's the furthest thing in the world from a doctor, you know. No other choice. He decided maybe the Rebbe made a mistake. Maybe I didn't hear right then. He goes, he asks, where does this Reb Zusha live? He goes, and he's looking, and they tell him over there, and he's looking, there's no house there. There's like a hut there, you know, a little hut or something, you know. Sure enough, he sees where Reb Zusha lives, and he sees how Reb Zusha lives, in what a state of poverty and everything. And he says to Reb Zusha, so Reb Zusha, I was sent here by the Mezritcha Magid because I told him I have so many problems and everything, and he told me to have a consultation with you and you'll be able to solve all my problems. Reb Zusha looks at him and says, but I don't understand. Some kind of mistake. I don't know why he sent you to me because I never had any problems. I don't have any problems. I don't know why he thought that I could solve your problems. And this person got it. You know, he got the message that we see that tzaddikim, that the more they get to higher and higher levels of recognition of Hashem, the more they get to a realization that there is no negativity of problem, that lack of money, lack of health, all of those things, it's not a problem, it's a solution. It's a solution, it's a tikkun. They understand that it's only something good. A person goes to a hospital for surgery, and when the person gets they pay $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 for the surgery, and they use all kinds of protective again. And somebody says, "What are you crazy? You paid money. You that guy should be put in jail for cutting people up." No. He's a murderer. He's a healer. This is to heal me by taking out this growth from inside. I'm going to have another 30, 40 years of life. So we're talking about a level of recognition of Hashem which eliminates any thought of problem. We see people, especially today, people running around, anytime they hear of a tragedy or something bad that happened, it's crazy. It's crazy what's going on. As long as a person thinks it's crazy, then it's a problem. Then they're suffering. The moment the person realizes it's not crazy, Hashem is not crazy, and what's going on is not crazy, that there's a hastorah, that the kindness of Hashem is hidden now. We're seeing another side of Hashem, Kavya, the Midas Adin. But even in that, there's chesed. Begvurois yesh yemina, the more a person learns, you know, the true meaning of life, you know, which is as expressed in the Torah, the more a person knows that everything is really it's not crazy. Everything is perfectly right. And again, that doesn't mean that we want to leave it in this state. How we respond to each situation, the Torah tells us. The Torah tells us to say thank you when Hashem is showing kindness. And the Torah tells us that there are even some tzaddikim who are on such an incredible high level that they can even say thank you when they're suffering. When what most people would perceive as a problem, a tragedy hits, they can even say thank you for that. Although we're warned that even the greatest tzaddik, when he's at a funeral today, he is not allowed to say Baruch Atoy Vameitiv. If he does, he's going against Hashem, against the Torah. He has to say Baruch Dayan Ho'emes because we're still in this world. In Olam Haba, it's going to be perfectly clear that it's all good. In this world, even the tzaddikim, who to them, they understand that it's all good, but as long as we're living in this world, we have to show some recognition, some awareness of that this is chesed, this is gvura, this is midas hadin, this is midas hachesed. So we say the bracha baruch dayin ho'emes, but we say it also not from a place of depression, not from a place of pessimism, of anger, of resentment. We make the bracha baruch dayin ho'emes also with simcha, with emunah, complete faith that Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. And this person had to die at this time. I had a privilege, one of my close friends, he might be with us in the shir today, Menachem Herman, sent me a file of speeches by my Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avracha, when he was sitting Shiva for his daughter that had passed away, his second daughter that had passed away during his lifetime. None of us should ever know from such pain, from such suffering. But you hear the way he's speaking, every word is flowing with emunah. And one of the things he said was, obviously, she did not have any more years, even though, again, she was 25 or 30 years younger than him, and he was still living. But again, a level of deep emunah and recognition of Hashem. Back inside, Nimtza shehayisurim hem chisaron emunah, chisaron adas. So we see that suffering is an expression, shows a weakness in emunah, a weakness in das. And you see here, Rab Nosson Zal's putting these two things side by side. The person will say, what kind of, that's a contradiction. Emunah and das are on two opposite ends of the spectrum. The answer is yes and no, as we just explained. That very often in Sifrei Chassidus, especially in our Sforim, the emunah and das are almost synonymous. It means recognition of Hashem, both from what I know and from what I don't know. V'alkein, and therefore, hatikun lazeh tainus. The solution for this, the response, the correct response to this is fasting. Kal yedei tainus zoichen le'emuna kanal. Because through fasting, fasting increases our faith in Hashem. We know that just on a simple level, eating is gashmius. Eating is generally more of a, there's the body and the soul. And food, physical food, is referred to as mezoina de gufa. Spiritual food is called mezoina de nishmasa, soul food. And Rabbeinu Zal says in Torah Ches and Likutim Ran Tanina that these two are on opposite ends of a seesaw. The more physical food, the more we feed the body, the more we're weakening the soul. The more we abstain from gashmias, the more we're strengthening the soul. On a general level, this doesn't mean literally always, but on a certain level. So again, the withholding of the gashmias, the fasting, is elevating the ruchnias. It's bringing us to higher levels of awareness of Hashem, of emunah. The ikar hatainus, who had tshuva. And we know that the most important aspect of a fast day is the repentance that's done on that day. The Gemara learns this out from the story of Yonah Hanavi, that when the people of Nineveh finally were told that they're about to be wiped out because of all of their sins, we're told that the king of Nineveh took off his crown, took off his royal robes, sat down on the ground, wore sackcloth and ashes on his head. And he said, every man, woman, and child, and animal is going to fast. The animals are going to fast now. And sure enough, they did. But the Pasuk says, Vayar Hashem es ma'aseihem. Hashem saw their actions, their good deeds. And the Gemara says, it doesn't say Hashem saw their fasting. He saw their actions, their good deeds, which teaches us that on a fast, at a time of fasting, the fasting is a nice thing, but fasting is a prep. It's a preparation to prepare the person for cheshbon hanefesh, to think, what have I been doing wrong in my life? What can I correct? What can I improve in? How can I improve in my relationship with Hashem, in my relationship with my fellow man? So the Iker HaTainus is tshuva. Kalidei HaTshuva Oile HaMalchus Shibchina Semuna. Because we know that tshuva is one of the most effective things in elevating the Malchus, which is Emuna. The word tshuva is brought, it is Toshuv Hei. To return the letter Hey, that last Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei. When we commit sins, we cause a separation, we mentioned earlier, a separation in heaven between Hashem and the Shekhinah, between the Yud Kei Vav and that final Hey. When we do tshuva, is Toshuv Hey, to return the Hey to the Yud Kei Vav, to bring about that reunion. Again, sometimes the Malchus is referred to as Dalit. Sometimes the Malchus is referred to as Hay. When the Malchus is in a weaker state, it's referred to as the letter Dalet. When the Malchus is in a higher degree of Shlemus, it's referred to by the letter Hay. This is discussed in many places in Sifrei Kabbalah, Chassidus. Rabbi Nazal speaks about this elaborately in chapter 49 in Likutei Moran, about the Dalet and the Hay. Validei zeh nishlam hadas. And this also leads to Shlemus Hadas, completion of the of recognition of Hashem, awareness of Hashem. Bibechinas, as it says in a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mi Zois Oila Min HaMidbar. Who is this one who is coming up from the wilderness? And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Mi Im Zois Oila. The Mi and the Zois go up together. The Zohar HaKadosh explains that Zois refers to the Malchus, usually. There are many psukim in the Torah that the Zohar HaKadosh brings to show that Zois represents the Malchus. Mi, Mem Yud, is 50, which represents Bina, the 50 levels of Bina. Malchus is the lower Shechina, Bina is the upper Shechina. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that these two usually are very closely associated with each other. They travel together. When the Malchus goes up, Bina goes up also. Mi, Im Zois Oila. The Mi and the Zois go up together. So again, when the Malchus, when the Emuna improves, then the Das, the Bina, the understanding improves. There's a pasuk in Rus. We're told that in Megillas Rus, we know that the Malchus, the kingdom of the Jewish nation, comes from Dovid HaMelech, who comes from Rus. And we know that Rus was the one who showed complete devotion and loyalty to Naomi. The Zohar HaKadosh explains that the term Noyam means heavenly sweetness or splendor. Noyam is a very, very holy, high-level word that's used to represent the upper Shekhinah. We say in Acha Shoalti Meis Hashem, David HaMelech says, one thing I ask of Hashem, let me be zeichet to live in the house of Hashem, lachsois benoyam Hashem ulevaker beheicholoi, to see the splendor of Hashem and to visit in the palace of Hashem. So the Zohar HaKadosh shows that noyam is bina, heichal is malchus. The word heichal, hey yud chof lamed, is 65, which is aleph dalet nun yud, which is the name for malchus. So we have Noyam, which is Bina, and Heichal, which is Malchus. Again, these two Shechinas. The upper one, the lower one. Naomi and Rus. And the Pasuk says that when Naomi tried to push Rus away, as she had to, she had to give Rus the opportunity to go back to her nation when there was famine, when there was this. And Rus said, wherever you go, I go. Where you die, I die. So the pasuk says afterwards, "Vatelachno shtehem yachdov," that both Naomi and Rus went together. So the Zohar HaKadosh says Vatelachno shtehem, the two hays went together. Nomi and Rus. Nomi is the first hay of Yudkei Vavkei, which is Bina, and Rus is the last hay of Yudkei Vavkei, which is Malchus. Vezeh shemarbin betfilois ubakoshois becholat haneisim, and this will explain why on a fast day there are many extra prayers. The Gemara shows in Tainus they add blessings to the Shmon Esrei, and we say slichos, all kinds of extra prayers on fast days. Ki ikar hatainus bo alzeh, because one of the main goals and purposes of a fast is this, kedei lehalois hadibur, to elevate the dibur, to elevate the malchus, which is dibur. And this is why we say special confessions, oshamnu bogadnu, on fast days, because Rabbi Nazal shows us in another, a different chapter in Likutei Moran, that fasting leads to joy and happiness. Bebchinas, as it says in a pasuk in Tehillim, samchenu kimois inisanu, you will give us joy and happiness as the days of our fasting, inui tainis. Validei hasimcha yecholin lehizvadois. And Rabbi Nazal shows in another place in Likutei Moran that when a person's happy, then they can come to a true confession. When a person is depressed, their mouth is locked, their heart is locked. They can't talk, they can't really express what they need to say. When a person's in a frame of mind of simcha, then they can go back and correct the things that need to be corrected. They can confess, they can search into their background and go into the things they did wrong, not from a place of depression, but from a place of optimism, that by me doing this confession to Hashem, my sin will be forgiven and erased, and Hashem will bring me close to Him. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says, sosoin v'simcha yimotze bo, joy and happiness will be found in her, toida v'koil zimra. The word toida has two meanings. Toida means thanks, and toida also means vidui, confession. Toida v'koil zimra. And Rabbi Nazal shows in Likutei Moran that again, fasting leads to happiness, samchenu kimoisi nisanu, which also leads to the, and when a person's happy, they're able to do proper vidui. This is Rav Nosson Zal's presentation on showing us the significance of fasting, and specifically these four fasts for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Any questions?
I would just like to know what your thoughts are about the abundance of rain that was with us, that came through us this year, and then all of a sudden, it's supposed to relate to a lot of Emunah, and then all of a sudden we're seeing a tremendous chison in Emunah with this tremendous corona thing we're going through.
My answer is, I don't know. That's my first answer. And my second answer is that we go with the flow. A Jew needs to know that we're in a world that's changing every second. The Arizal says that in every nanosecond, there's change taking place in this world. You know, there's movement and change going on. And we are taught to know, uvetuvoi mechadesh b'chon, there's new every day. 1 minute there could be shefa, and a minute later, chas v'shalom, could be the opposite. The pasuk says, smoiloi tachas roishi, Hashem puts his left hand under my head, v'yaminoi tichapkeni, and with his right hand embraces me. Kaviyochel, there's the right and left of Hashem, and sometimes they're both functioning simultaneously. Sometimes there's tremendous chesed and gvura going on at the same time. The Gemara tells a story. The Gemara says that during the Churban Beis HaMikdash, one of the very large cities in Beitar, the Gemara tells a whole story how at one point the king let them go. You know, he freed them. He gave them freedom, and there was major celebration and dancing and music going on in one part of the city, and in the other side of the city, people were being killed, murdered. And unfortunately, we are living this every day. Unfortunately, this is the life of a Jew in many ways. That 1 second there's a simcha and you know there's joy and pain, and the Torah teaches us to keep a certain balance, that either extreme is dangerous and forbidden. Too much, again, those people who their definition of emunah is, Mashiach is coming today, I'm sure Mashiach is going to come today, today, today. You know, we're supposed to believe that. But for a person to say it as a fact, that if you have hispoitidus, you're going to be cured immediately. A person's not allowed to say that because we don't know. Sometimes we don't know how much, in what way, whether Hashem's going to give the Yeshua today or tomorrow. Or sometimes there's a concept of Zimnin de Leishoma. We believe, we have faith, and we do the maximum that we can to accept everything with joy and happiness. Bahashem ahalal dovor, balikim al dovor. But again, with eyes open to see what's going on and to be sensitive, to know there's a time, Shlomo Mel says, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry. We need both. But even the crying should never come from a place of chas v'shalom, depression, pessimism, hopelessness. Any other questions?
Yeah, hi, Rav Nissen.
Sure.
Is there a recommendation for regular individuals then to take on occasional voluntary fasts for the benefits?
The answer is that Rabbeinu Zal taught us. I just heard a shiur recently, a recorded shiur from Rav Rosenfeld on this topic, where he said that Rabbeinu Zal, during the earlier part of his life, this was the derech he took, fasting, extreme fasting. But Rabbeinu Zal, towards the end of his life, said that he came to a realization that as much as could be accomplished by fasting, the hispoidus, tefillah, proper tefillah, can do it better, quicker, etc. And therefore, Rabbeinu Zal emphasized to us, you want to fast, have hispoidus. You know, that's a higher form of fasting, of abstention, you know, secluding yourself with Hashem. You know, fasting means abstaining from Gashmius. Hispoidus is also a type of fast where I'm disconnecting from the physical, material world. Now, there is definitely a very important kind of aspect to this, which is called Tainus Shois, that Rabbeinu Zal followed the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal, who put major emphasis on how forbidden it is to eat before davening, before Shacharis, that it's usur to eat before Shacharis, and even drinking, a person should try to avoid drinking before Shacharis. And if a person does that, and they daven Shacharis, and then they even learn, they say a little bit of Tehillim after Shacharis, or they learn a little bit, that's called Tainus Shois. That definitely is registered as a type of fasting, delaying one's breakfast, you know, which some people, when they get, I have to have my coffee, I have to have my bagel, you know, and a person says, I have to have Hashem, that's the only thing I have, everything else is secondary. That delaying the eating is a form of a fast. That's an important item. And again, not showing a gluttonous, not the urgency when a person says, I have to eat right now, or I have to, or the, if the food isn't on the table, a person getting angry at their wife or whoever it is, that rushing, any holding back is also registered as a type of a fast, a type of a tainus. Rav Nosson Zal, I believe, said that Rabbeinu Zal told us not generally not to take on any extra fasts. However, the fasts that the Torah has given us, including the standard ones and the less standard ones, such as Bahab, after Pesach and after Sukkot, there's the Monday, Thursday, Monday, or Erev Rosh Chodesh, those some people who fast then, or Aseres Yemei Tshuva, those days, that Rabbeinu Zal was not against. That many of the Breslovers did do. They would either fast a whole day or a half a day on those special days. And Rabbeinu Zal said, when a person does have an opportunity to fast, to take it, to receive it like a sweet cookie. In other words, to relish the opportunity to exercise this control, that I'm putting the neshama on top and the guf on bottom. You know, I'm showing that I favor my neshama over my guf.
Can Rav Nosson please clarify the dynamic of das? On the one hand,
It's the solution to our problems, the seeing the bigger picture. On the other hand, it seems Gemara says in other places that the more das, the more troubles we have, so to speak.
How would I put that together? Rabbi Nizal mentions that on the Kutim on Yosef Das, Yosef Machoiv. It's a pasuk. The answer is, there's an expression, ignorance is bliss. Sometimes there's a concept of a person who doesn't know, and because they don't know, a person who's in a situation, and because they don't know the severity of it, they don't understand it, the magnitude of it is lost on them completely. Whereas a person has a much higher level understanding, they're much more troubled by it. You follow? Let's say a person who's walking around and they have a certain, they feel a certain little bit of pain, you know, and they ask the person, what's going on? Well, a toothache, it bothers me, but it's not that big a deal. And they go to a dentist, you know, who looks inside and who sees that this is a root infect, this is a root canal, this is a major, this is an infection and it's gone, you know, and chashon, the person's life is in jeopardy, that kind of thing. And that person, because of the das, to them it's a completely different league of a problem. Their understanding of the problem is a completely different league than the other person. You follow? And also, for example, the tzaddikim who recognize, who see the suffering of the Shechina. Rabbi Nizal, in the first story of Sipurim Isaias, he speaks about the lost princess. And it speaks about a situation where there's a king had six sons and one daughter, and he loved all of them, but he loved the daughter much, much more. He really loved the daughter tremendously. And one day something happens, and the king ends up saying something terrible to the daughter, and the next day she's gone. She's gone. She disappears. And the king is frustrated. He's going back and forth. He's beside himself that the daughter, the princess whom he loved more than anyone else, now is lost and gone. And then Rabbi Nizal says there that the viceroy of the king, the Sheni Lamelech, because he saw the suffering of the king, he decided this is his project now. He's going to put everything else aside. This is his life mission, to search for the lost princess. Those words that are inserted there, because he saw the suffering of the king. You know, I might have heard from Reb Michel Zichron Avrach or others that there are many, many religious people and even rabbis who, because they don't learn Kabbalah, because they don't learn Hasidus, their perception of Yiddishkeit is that it's a book of laws. It's laws. Can do this, can't do that. And again, they know there's a concept of Hashem, Golus, you know. But those tzaddikim who learn Zohar HaKadosh, Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus, where it's a completely different league of understanding what's going on. What does it mean, Golos HaShechina? What does it mean causing a separation between the Hey and the Yud Kei Vav? Their understanding of what Hashem is going through right now when the Jews are in exile is billions of levels above people who don't have that knowledge. And because of that, they feel so much more. You know, they feel the pain of the king, the pain. Another person's walking around, he doesn't know. You tell him that Hashem is suffering. What are you talking about, Hashem is suffering? I don't see it, you know. And the tzaddikim, because of the das that they have, they are so much more aware of what's really going on.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure.
What makes someone a breastlover? And according to Breslov, can one under 40 learn Kabbalah/Zohar and such?
These questions require hours to do justice to it. We'll try to do it in seconds. What makes someone a Breslover is a person who chooses Rabbi Nachman as his guide, as his rabbi, his guide, his teacher, and he tries as much as he can to learn, to get to know Rabbi Nachman's presentation of Yiddishkeit, and to live that way. That's a definition, number one. And the things that Rabbi Nachman puts more emphasis on, less emphasis, permissible, not permissible. And the second question was?
According to Breslov, can one under 40 years old learn Zohar, Kabbalah?
The answer is, my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, explained that we find the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch mention one of the major prerequisites to learning Kabbalah is that a person should first have studied a lot of Gemara and Halacha. That's one of the major prerequisites. Reb Chaim Vital, who was the prime student of the Arizal, and who was one of the greatest teachers of all time of Kabbalah, he's the one who documented all the teachings of the Arizal, which probably shed more light on Kabbalah than anything else. He writes that the most important prerequisite to the study of Kabbalah is complete faith. That if a person has an attitude that I believe in Hashem 100%, I believe in the Torah 100%, I believe in Tzaddikim 100%, and if I'm going to learn anything that I will not understand completely, I'll attribute it only to a weakness on my part. It's not a weakness in the Torah. It's not a weakness in the Tzaddikim. It's not a weakness in Hashem. That person can study Kabbalah and it will help them. It'll benefit them. If a person doesn't have that faith, with all the knowledge in the world, they can be harmed. So these are two of the major prerequisites. Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, was very, very knowledgeable in Kabbalah. The things that I shared with you today, when I mentioned about certain names of Hashem, this, that, to some of you, it might sound as if, wow, Nassim Maimon's a real mekubal. This is kindergarten. This is major little league stuff. In other words, we're presenting it on a very, very small educational level to give us an inkling. These are the kind of things that are mentioned in Sifrei Chassidus, in Likutei Halachos, in Likutei Moran, where they give us a taste, a slight taste of Kabbalah. When we talk about learning Kabbalah, it's a much, much heavier, deeper learning than what we've presented here.
Thank you.
Sure. A wonderful day, a wonderful week. Looking forward to learning more together, Mr. Shem. All the best.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure. All the best.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure.